Well, good morning, church. How's everyone doing today? Yeah. Can we do a little better than that? Come on, how are you guys doing today? All right. How many of you really, I want you to really shout it out if you are not doing okay today. How many of you are not doing okay? All right. That's awesome. We could celebrate. We could not only shout when things are good, we can shout when things are bad because we know that even though things may be bad, God is still God. Amen. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I got to tell you what happened. On Wednesday, I proudly announced to our church people there in Bible study that this is what I'm going to preach about. And this is a message that I have. It's awesome and you're going to love it. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord changed it on me. I said, you know, God willing, though, I learned to say that. You got to learn to say Lord willing in your life because you might have your plans and you might make your schedule and everything, but God can change it on you in a heartbeat. And this is what happened. I have a good reason why I changed it. I've been reading through the Gospels. I said, Lord, I'm going to read through the entire Gospels because Dennison and I, where's Dennison at? Dennison, is he here? There he is. Everyone say hi, Dennison. Dennison is awesome. He's our men's director. He's an amazing man of God and a good friend. Well, Dennison and I were on our way soon to Trinidad to go preach the gospel. Isn't that amazing? God's really opening doors. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read through the gospels if I'm going to preach the gospel. So as I'm reading through the gospel, I came upon the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 17. And it hit me so hard. You ever been hit so hard with the Word of God that I knew the Lord wanted this message for Miami as well as Trinidad? Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. And let's look at this verse here. It says, He came down with them. He stood on a level place with the crowd of His disciples, a great multitude of people. All Judea and Jerusalem, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The whole multitude, we're talking thousands of people, sought to just touch him. For power went out from him, and he healed them all. So if you knew for a second, just picture this, that your entire life you've been tormented by a demonic spirit, you've been sick, your life has been horrible, and then you get news that there's a man in town that if you just touch him, your entire life gets fixed. You got that picture in your mind? You would come running. You would drop everything just to touch this man because you were tired of the way your life was going. So when this multitude of crowds were there, they weren't being civil. They were just rushing, trampling on each other just to touch Jesus, knowing if we just touch him, our entire lives would be fixed. You got the picture of that scenario now. But notice verse 20. Then he lifted up his eyes. Jesus, he lifted his eyes towards his disciples. So all these multitudes of people are around him, but Jesus stops and he focused on his disciples. He's looking at his disciples. And then Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. For yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who are weeping now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, rival you, and cast out your name as evil. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." And then verse 24, he flips it around. He says, woe. That word woe literally means sorrow. So he says, woe to those who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers, the prophets. You see how Jesus just flipped it around? Before we pray, I want to just share with you the title of today's message. Interesting title. Get your flavor back. Get your flavor back. Pastor, how does that? Just wait. Get your flavor back. Come on, say it with me. Get your flavor back. Shout it to your neighbors. Hey, get your flavor back. Is there anything worse than eating something that is bland? No taste, nothing. Now, is there anything worse when people are bland? And they have no flavor to them? Because you can't live in Miami and not have flavor. I'm sorry, that does not happen. But have you ever been with a person that's just dry and they look miserable? There's no joy in them. Now here's another question. Have you ever met a Christian that's bland? Yeah, right? It makes no sense how you can be on your way to heaven and blessed by God and live your life with no flavor. You're just bland, you're dry, you're sad. You come to church, you worship, it's your worship face. I love it. Everyone meet and greet each other. Hi, how are you? Yeah, God bless you. You're just bland. When I read that, I felt the Lord say to me, you got to tell this church that I've given you to get their flavor back. Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name this sermon will make sense. And I pray, God, that you would use me to speak your word for those here today or listening online that have lost their flavor, have lost it, and are just going through life dry and bland. I pray for those who can remember a time in their lives that they were so passionate for you. For those who are here today who have strayed from you, when we leave here today, Lord, if it's your will, let someone here today get the flavor back in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church gets weirder every week, right? It's crazy. But anyway, Luke chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says that crowds of multitudes of people were around Jesus. And the Gospel of Luke, these people began to crowd him by the thousands just to touch him because they knew if we can just touch him, our entire lives will be fixed. So imagine that Jesus says, if you just touch me, I fix everything. So if you knew this, you would stop at nothing to get through the crowd, to press through everyone just to touch Jesus because you wanted and you were desperate for his power to come out of him and into your life and heal your diseases and fix your mind and fix all the problems around you. Because I believe today that there's a desperation for the power of God to come back into someone's life again in this church. And the crowd surrounded him. But see, this is what I don't understand. As I read it, there's all these crowds of people. And Jesus, he turns to his disciples. Now you have to understand that the disciples were followers of Jesus. The word disciple literally means learner. And in order to be a learner, you had to follow the master. So the disciples, these are the ones that dropped everything to follow Jesus. These are the ones that left their families. They left their homes. They left their children, their jobs, their businesses. They left everything just to follow Jesus out of passion, out of desire, out of just a willingness for change. So all these disciples gave up their lives. These are the disciples that Jesus would look at like Peter and say, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to change the world someday. And they left everything. So when you look at this gospel,
You see that there are two types of people in this crowd. Now pay attention, because I want you to identify this morning what group you might fall into. See, on that group, that multitude, yes, there were the disciples who gave up everything to give to the Lord. But then there were those in the crowd who only came to be touched by Jesus, who only came to just have Jesus fix their problems. So I wonder this morning in this church, are you falling into the category that you're saying, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to give to you? Or are you falling in that other group that says, Lord, whatever it takes, I want you to give to me, and I want to get from you? See, there are those that follow the Lord because they want to contribute and give to God. But there are those that are only following Jesus because they want to get something from God. And I'm here in church today. Why? Because my marriage is bad. My children are rebellious. I have financial issues. I'm sick. So I need to follow Jesus until He fixes things. Then I'm out. But then there are those that say, no matter what my life looks like, no matter how bad it is, I'm going to follow Jesus because He's done so much for me. I just want to give back. So I want to ask this morning, in that crowd of people, are you a giver or are you a taker? Because those people were in the crowd that just wanted Jesus to fix them. That's not commitment. That's extortion. But Jesus looks at His disciples. Because I pray we become a church that gives instead of takes from God. Because God has been so good to you. You're saying, Lord, all I can do is follow You and give. Give my life to You. Give my gifts to You, my talents to You. See, as I read this, Jesus looks at His disciples in front of this large crowd, and He stops and He says, blessed. Hey, you're blessed right now. You're blessed. But the truth is, when you look at the disciples, their lives did not look blessed. And you look at the disciples, in fact, they were following Jesus, but they were struggling. Because we have to stop this idea that you know you're blessed when your life is good. That is not the definition of blessing in the eyes of God. But from a human perspective, when we look at the lives of the disciples, we would say, you guys have done something wrong. You're not blessed because look at how hard your life is. Look at how much you're struggling. You see, when Jesus called His disciples to follow Him, I love it because Jesus tells Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And He gave him this vision of changing the world. But Jesus left out the part that He said, you're not going to have a home to sleep in. There's going to be days that you go hungry and you're not going to have food. We're not going to have money. And by the way, we're going to be hated. You're going to be thrown in prison. You're going to be beaten. People aren't going to like you. You're going to lose all your friends. You may even lose your family and your marriage. Hey, Jesus left that part out. But see, they started figuring that out as they followed Jesus. So as they followed Jesus, the disciples were like, man, you know what? This is harder than I thought. Hey, Jesus, you never said any of this. You only said the good stuff. So as the disciples were following Jesus, they began to figure out the hard way that following Jesus will cost you. Following Jesus is not easy, and you're going to struggle sometimes. But let me tell you what's worse. Jesus looks at them again, and He says, woe to those who are rich and have food and are laughing. So He said, woe to those who you're looking at right now, and their lives are easier than yours, and their lives are better than yours, and they're not even following Me. Can I be honest and get a witness this morning? Isn't it hard to understand God when it looks like He's blessing those that aren't even halfway committed as you are to Jesus? It's like you look at someone's Facebook or social media page and they're happy, they're smiling, they're blessed, they got everything you've been praying for, and you're saying, God, I don't get it. I love you more. This person doesn't even go to church. I serve in the ministry. And I'm still single and I'm still broke and I haven't gotten the promotion and you made me sick and I've gone through this and I've gone through that. And I can think of a lot more people that deserve to be punished more than me. Now can I get a witness? And it makes no sense. And I'm sure that maybe Jesus said, woe to those who are rich and those who have a lot and those who are happy, because maybe the disciples were comparing their lives to other people. And when they looked at their lives, they said, man, we're following Jesus. We believe in Him. We're serving other people. We're being a blessing. But it seems like lately, those that aren't following Jesus have it easier than we do. Because if we're honest, we can look at life that way and we can say, man, you know what? Those that aren't even in church this morning, those that don't even know Jesus, they're not even trying to get close to the Lord. Their lives are a lot better than mine. And I'm in church at least, and I'm reading my Bible, not that good, but I'm reading it and I'm trying to pray and I'm trying to get closer to God. But ever since I've been following Jesus, it's like my life has been harder than that person in the world who doesn't even know Him. I don't get it, Jesus. Maybe that's you this morning. I was in Walmart this week. Walmart is where the devil plays with me. All the time. I honestly pray before I enter the gates of hell in Walmart. And I always said it. I said, if you want to know where hell's gates are, it's a Walmart. But that morning, I got to tell you, I had a great devotional with Jesus. You ever felt extra Christian? You know what I'm talking about? Extra Christian? That's, you're like, I'm feeling extra, like, extra Christian today. That you're doing things you normally want. You're like smiling more and you're trying to be kind to. I was feeling extra Christian that day. So then I walked in and I can't make this stuff up. There was 5 shopping carts. And the second I walked in, I'm the first one there. And they're all piled together. And then 4 people come in. And I said, oh, I'm feeling so Christian. You know what? I'm going to just pull them out and pass them on. Pull and pass. Pull and pass. And I'm pulling and I'm passing and I'm smiling and I'm like, bless you. And I'm pulling and I'm passing and I'm smiling. I'm like, bless you. Like 4 times. Wow, look at me. I feel so Jesus right now. God bless you. God bless you. Have a nice day. Passing the cards because I'm extra Christian. And then when it was my turn to get my card, I push it. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, oh, this one's broken. When I look, no carts anywhere. Not even on the other side. And I said, are you kidding me right now? You mean to tell me I've been doing all this good, passing and blessing and smiling and rejoicing, and when it comes time for me, God, you give me the only cart in all the Walmarts in the world that's broken. And the entire day at Walmart, just hopping my cart around. And you know what's worse? You know the devil pokes? I saw all 4 of them. Thank you for the cart. And the extra Christian in me was gone. Ruined my day. That's how life is. You're like, God, I'm trying to do it right. I'm trying to bless people. I'm trying to serve you. I'm praying more than I used to. I'm in church. God, you remember where I used to be on Sunday? Because I don't remember. I was hungover, but I'm in church now. And at least I'm trying. But why does it feel like sometimes God gives the better shopping carts to other people and not you? And it feels like God is just passing and blessing and smiling to give to others, but He's handed you something broken. And what's worse is that you're looking at everyone else that's smiling and living through life, and they're rich and they're satisfied and they're laughing and they're happy as Jesus described it. But you look at your life and you're mourning and you're in pain and you're neglected and you're rejected and you're excluded and you're asking yourself, Jesus, I don't get it. Because it feels like I've done something wrong. Because it looks like those that aren't even following Jesus have it a lot better than I do. Can I tell you, if you feel this way this morning, not only are you in the right place this morning, but you're not alone. I mean, for thousands of years, people have struggled with this shopping cart thing. David, the man after God's own heart, the real extra Christian guy, David. He wrote this psalm in Psalm 73:3. Honest David, he said, I was what? I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of who? The wicked. David himself was honest enough to write and say, you know what? I gotta be honest, God. I'm a little jealous and I'm a little envious of all those people that I see that aren't serving you like I am, don't love you like I do, and they're wicked people, but they're living in prosperity. And I'm jealous because they're living the life that I want. They're in the house that I want. They have the spouse that I want, the type of kids that I want, the job that I want. And I'm looking at their Facebook, their social media. I'm looking at them in the street, and I gotta tell you, when I see how good their life is and how wicked they are, I get a little envious, and God, I don't get it. So David had his own little shopping cart situation. Jeremiah, another great man of God, he said, I love Jeremiah, was a little bit more extra Christian because he said, Lord, you're righteous. Righteous are you. You're righteous, okay, God? Oh, Lord, when I plead with you, yet, let me talk with you. You ever feel like that with God? See, God, we got to talk for a minute. Let me talk with you about your judgments. You know what Jeremiah said? Lord, I think you're doing something wrong. Your judgments, your judgment calls. You know that he should have been like stricken dead for this conversation, by the way, right? But God is graceful and merciful. You could be honest with God, people. You could be honest with him. You don't have to pretend. I'm so happy for them. God bless them. And then in your deep, dark little space, you're like, I don't get it, Lord. It's not fair. You would think God already knows your heart. So if God knows your heart, don't fake it. Just say, Lord, like David, you know, I'm envious. And like Jeremiah, he said, Lord, I don't get you. I need to talk to you. Let me talk with you, he said, about your judgment. Why does the way of the wicked what? Prosper. Why are those happy? Those happy people. Because Lord, I want to be happy. But why are they happy when they're so wicked and they deal so treacherously? Jeremiah had his own little shopping cart situation. He said, Lord, I don't get it. I trust you. I'm following you. I'm preaching your word. And I look around and I see wicked, treacherous people prospering and happy. Makes no sense. That might be you today. Because there's a season in our lives that you start off right with God and you give your life to Jesus, kind of like Peter gave his life to the Lord and Jesus painted this amazing picture of what great things were going to happen through him. So you gave your life to Jesus with these hopes and expectations that from now on, life is going to get easier, life is going to get better, and it's going to be so amazing. But like the disciples, as you're following Jesus, you're recognizing and realizing that it's a lot harder than you thought, and it gets worse because you look at the lives of other people that aren't doing half of what you're doing for the Lord, and they're happy, they're prospering, and you're telling God, we need to talk. You're telling God, I'm a little envious and confused of your judgment call because I don't get it. I don't understand, God. My question is, why did Jesus just look at his disciples amongst the crowd? And I don't think it was just the 12 he was talking to. I think it was the other 70 or plus other disciples that were there. And said, blessed are you. Not you will be blessed. He says, you're blessed right now. Even though right now you're poor in spirit, even though right now you're hungry and not satisfied, even though right now you have been rejected and mocked and isolated and excluded from the group, right now you are blessed because we have to stop thinking that being blessed means only after your problems are over. Right now, because you are a child of God and you are a believer of Jesus Christ, right now as you stand, no matter how your circumstance looks like, you are blessed. You're blessed. But see, what I want to know is, why did Jesus look at his disciples and feel the need to just tell them this now? Because as a pastor, I'll give Jesus advice. Listen, there's a better time to talk about this. Not now. You got a crowd of people in front of you, Jesus. Get to preaching. Come on. It's like there's thousands of people in front of me, and I grab my 12 leaders and I say, Lord, there's something more important, guys. We need to talk. You would tell me, Pastor, it's not a time for you to deal with me. You got to preach. So Jesus just stopped and he put his attention on his followers. Why? Why did Jesus engage his disciples in a crowd of thousands? I believe it's because he felt their discouragement. I believe it's because he knew their comparison. And as they were following Jesus, it was getting a lot harder and not easier. It was getting a lot more difficult and not pleasant. And right now, even though they're in a crowd of people and it looks like the ministry is about to be successful, they're discouraged, they're down because they're looking at other people who are happy and prospering and not even doing half of what they have done for Jesus. And they're thinking, Lord, we don't get it, but we're going to stay quiet. And Jesus looks at them and says, I need to talk to you. You're blessed. Matthew records this encounter, but he adds something into the conversation that Luke didn't. And this is why Jesus looked at his disciples and said, we need to talk. Matthew 5:13. He said to his disciples, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its what? Wait a minute! You get it now? I believe that they were so discouraged, they were losing their flavor. They weren't as passionate, as strong as back in the day when they first started following Jesus. So he said, you're the salt of the earth, but if that salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled. Let me ask you, how many of you want to be good for nothing Christians? Because you might be. What do you mean? You're saved? Yes. You're going to heaven? Absolutely. But you're not effective on earth. God can't use you. Let me ask you again, how many of you want to be Christian but good for nothing? How many want to attend a good-for-nothing church? Do you want a good-for-nothing pastor? Make sure I have my flavor all the time. If you see me losing and say, Pastor, you need some time off, take a break. I got to season you. Because some of you need seasoning right now. You're bland, you're boring, you've lost your passion, you've strayed from God, you're no longer the same, you've lost your joy, you've lost your peace, your kindness. You're saying, what happened to the old me? You lost your flavor. Why does it happen to us that we lose our flavor? And then, I got to tell you, as I read this, I said, Jesus, no offense, but I think you made a mistake when you wrote this. Because I'm honest like David with God. And I said, Lord, there's a problem. Science says salt cannot lose its saltiness. Salt doesn't lose its flavor. So I said, Jesus, there's something that science disagrees with because you're saying that salt can lose its flavor, but naturally salt never loses its flavor. Unless it's diluted with water. So let me illustrate what Jesus was teaching. A little science experiment here. So here's some salt. And I put this ounce in this little cup. And I'm going to fill this cup up. And I'm going to stir it. And I'm going to drink it. Ready? That's strong. You guys believe me. You want to try it? Man, all right. Let's do another experiment. So an ounce of salt, cup of water. Mix it. Things I do for the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Did the measure of salt change? What changed? You know why churches aren't effective anymore? Because we're watering down the gospel. We want watered down churches. But here's what Jesus was teaching. Did you know that when you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, you can't lose it? Once you've been born again, you're saved. That's never going to change. That's what Jesus was teaching. You know that it's not like you get less saved or more saved. You are saved. Just like that measurement doesn't change. The Lord will never change with you. You will always have the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life. If you're truly a born-again Christian, the Bible says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So what is Jesus teaching? You can be saved. And I understand that because now I understand the strategy of the devil. The devil is not after your salvation because he can't have that. Can't have it. It's sealed. He can't have your salvation. We have to stop thinking, the devil is after my soul. He can't have your soul. He can't have the Spirit of God from you. He can't take it. So you know what he says? Oh, I can't change that. But what I have to do them is dilute them. I got to water them down. So that now, this is what the strategy of the devil is. I can care less that you're saved. What really concerns me is when you're saved and strong and effective. That's what makes the devil tremble. A follower of Jesus who is strong and effective for the kingdom of God. He doesn't care if you're born again, as long as you're watered down. He's like, I'll water you down. And you're not going to do anything for the kingdom of God. You're going to be good for nothing because the devil wants good for nothing Christians on earth. He wants good for nothing churches. So he has to dilute you because the word dilute literally means weaken. And if you're right here in church right now and you're honest enough to say, my walk with God, I'm saved, I'm born again, but hey, my walk with Jesus right now is weak. My prayer life is weak. My love for others is weak. My passion for the Lord is weak. Because some of you can remember these days with Jesus that just the slightest taste of you, you were so strong for the Lord. But some of you are here now and you've been so diluted through life's struggles that you no longer are effective for the Lord. You're saying, I have a weak prayer life, a weak spiritual life. I'm weak when I treat others. I have a weakness in my life. I'm not strong anymore. Could it be then that you are saved by the grace of Jesus, but you are no longer effective? What is it, Pat? What's wrong with me? You've lost flavor. Not your spirit. But you've lost flavor. So I'm not as strong as I used to be. The worst thing is to know you're a believer, a born-again Christian, but you're weak. You're not effective for God. It's useless. Jesus said, you're good for nothing. You know what Jesus said this? Because he maybe felt the presence of his disciples were losing their flavor. Maybe because as they're following Jesus, life got harder, and now is when they're being hated and excluded, and they're hungry, and they're struggling, and they're just comparing themselves to others who don't even know Jesus, but they're happy and prospering. And when you begin to compare your lives to others, and you're going through a season of hardship, let me tell you, any believer will lose flavor. You start getting weaker in your faith, weaker with the Lord. They started off strong. Well, Jesus, I got to be honest. In these 3 years that we've been following you, the disciples had no idea that the devil was trying to dilute them and distract them and make them weaker because he knew he couldn't have their soul anymore. They belonged to Jesus. But what good is it to be a born-again, saved believer of Jesus Christ? But while you're on earth, you're weak. And you're miserable, and you're not even effective, and God can't even use you. You're weak. Even though the amount of salt hasn't changed. You know what? Right now, the love of God is like that salt. It hasn't changed for you. Your salvation hasn't changed. There is no such thing as a person that is less saved than someone else. We're all equal in that aspect. But you know where we differ? Some of us are more effective than others. Why? Because your mind is on something else that's not Jesus. And could it be that the disciples were discouraged? Comparing? Questioning, wondering, doubting, hey, I don't know about this Christian thing. Be careful when you're a follower of Jesus and all of a sudden these doubts start coming into you. Is this really for me? Be careful when you're following Jesus but you begin to recognize, hey, I'm getting weak again in this area in my life. Be careful when you're a follower of Jesus Christ but you no longer have the strength and the passion you used to. Worship no longer fills you with joy. I can be preaching till I pass out and you're fine. You're just there. You open up the Word of God to read it and it used to read you and now it doesn't even make sense to you. Could it be right now that there's a lot of people here at Forward that have lost or they're losing their flavor? Because I'll tell you in the name of Jesus and no other name, you cannot lose your salvation, but you can definitely lose your flavor. You can be saved, but not effective. So hey, you're a born-again Christian, but hey, you're not even effective for God. That's why your family is struggling. You're struggling in your life. You're miserable. You're down. You're treating people like garbage. You're unhappy. Like, what's wrong? The devil has you watered. How does he do it, though? I prayed about it. I said, Lord, how does the devil do it? It's going to take me all day to study this. God, and I don't have time. I got to go through all the Bible and figure out the devil's strategy. And God's like, no, you don't. Go back where you started. Then I got it. Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, that word poor literally means empty. And we know that it means to be empty and lost and hopeless without Jesus. And blessed are those who recognize that they're empty and they need Jesus. And you recognize your desire for Him. But you know that as a Christian, sometimes I feel poor in spirit. Sometimes I feel hopeless. My question is, that's how the devil works, because he tries to get you distracted by the hopelessness in your life. And in the beginning, you used to recognize your need for Jesus, but now you're so watered down, you no longer run to Him when you're desperate. You run to something or someone else. That's how the devil waters you down. I thought about Peter. Peter began to get watered down. He didn't even know it. At first, Peter, when he met Jesus, he even said, Lord, I am so sinful. Get away from me. And Jesus is like, no, I actually want you because you're so bad. Praise God. And Peter was strong and following Jesus. And he's like, I'll never leave you. I love you so much. Because he was strong and he was has flavor in his life. But when he sinned and made a mistake and he kind of strayed away from Jesus, how many of you have strayed away from God for a season or two or three or now? He ran away and he ran to his boat and he didn't run to Jesus anymore. Because when you feel poor in spirit and you're hopeless, when you're so watered down because you're so discouraged, you don't even feel like running to God anymore. And you begin to run to friends and boyfriends and pleasures and the world and other things that are going to leave you empty. So maybe today the devil has you watered with hopelessness. Jesus said, blessed are you who hunger. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness means to be in right standings with God, so as to do things that are right in the eyes of God. But see, he said, blessed are those not who do the right things for God. Blessed are those who hunger to do the right things. So let me tell you how God blesses you. If God sees you even have the desire to do right, He'll bless you. Because before Jesus, what were your desires? I can't say it. You know that you know you've been watered down. And you're losing flavor. When your desires to please God has changed to pleasing your flesh. And now you're hungry for sin. And your mind is always on pleasure and lust and gratifying that moment of sin in your life. And if all your focus is on that sin, and I want to do it, you know you're losing flavor. Because your desire changes. You know you're losing flavor because Jesus said, blessed are you who weep and mourn. And the reason that they weep and mourn is not because of life and its struggles, it's because of sin. When you are strong in the Lord, the littlest of sin will get you down. But you know you're losing flavor when you're in the same sin and it no longer affects you. You no longer mourn over it. You're no longer sad about it. In fact, you begin to excuse it and justify it and play with it a little. Because you've gotten so comfortable and used to that sin. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was in the West Coast and I was in the water. And that water was 54 degrees. That's fun. Especially being from Miami, which is like 95 all the time. When I dove in that beach, it was like, it just hit me. And my nature said, get out, get out, get out of this water. But if I stayed long enough in it, you know what happened? I adjusted. And I was doing backstrokes. Yeah. Paddling. Yeah. This is nice. For 9 hours. That's how sin is. When you're this with Jesus, You think the wrong thing. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that, thought that. You're in sin for like a second. You're like in a kiddie pool of sin. And you're like, I'm out. But some of you are doing backstrokes in the Olympic-sized pool of sin now. And you don't care anymore. You've lost your fear of God. And it's fine now. You're saying, it's okay. I'm not perfect. So-and-so is worse. Is it that big of a deal? And you no longer mourn for sin you used to mourn for. That's how you know you're losing flavor. Because you're hopeless and you no longer run to Jesus. Your desires for doing right has changed for desire to please your flesh and sin. You no longer mourn for sin. You excuse it. It's interesting because David, a man after God's own heart, means that he had a desire to do it God's way. But he got so watered down with compromise that his heart changed to please his flesh. I thought about Samson, who was so strong spiritually. He had a lot of flavor. He was like pushing doors through with his long hair and muscles, grabbing a donkey bone and like slaying people. He's my favorite person in the Bible. I love him. And he was so strong, but he was strong, the Bible says, in the spirit. But then he just started swimming a little bit in Gaza. And his little swimming partner, Delilah, who looks so good in the bathing suit, by the way. The Bible says, oh, Samson just laid in her lap. How innocent is that? Depends what lap you're laying on. Because I tell you, if you're laying on the devil's lap, he woke up. Next thing he knew, bound, chained, eyes out, bald, weak. How did that happen? Devil just watered him. Let me just change his desires. Let him, I don't want Samson to mourn. Because I want to tell you something. Samson had time to repent. The Bible says he married. Delilah wasn't the first one. There was another one back in the day that he married who should not have married. But the Bible declares that the Spirit of the Lord was still in him, strong. Because the Lord was giving him a chance. Come on, Samson, you can do this. You can repent and turn from this. And when she left him for another man, that was like God's intervention. This is your time to get out of this relationship. Come on, Samson. And Samson was like, but I want to go to Gaza. And he met Delilah. And the Bible says that in one night, that was a warning. If you braid my hair, I'll lose my strength. He woke up all braided up. That was God saying, I'm warning you. If you tie me with string a second night, he woke up that night all tied up. And the Spirit of God was still strong in his life, wasn't it? That was God saying, Samson, you're getting really close to losing it. Come on, Samson. But he didn't mourn for it. He actually liked it. Until the third night came. He woke up. And his strength was gone. The Bible says he didn't even realize the Spirit of God had left him. You know what God said to Samson? Samson, you're no longer useful to me until you repent and call me back. Because we all look at him as a defeated one. No, he's not. The Bible in Hebrews declares him a hero of faith. Because while he was bound and in chains, he cried out to God. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I wonder what night are you on? Because you think it's never going to catch you. You see how the devil waters you down? Lastly, as we close, the Bible says, blessed are you when you're hated and excluded and cast out. Can we talk about being saved but lonely? Loneliness is a real struggle in the church. And the devil loves to use loneliness to get you to fulfill that need in the wrong places. The disciples were walking with Jesus, but the Bible says the more they walked with Him, the more people began to exclude them, cast them out. I imagine the disciples, like John and James and Andrew, their best friends were like, "Hey, how are you? Oh man, we can't be friends anymore." He comes back home. "Hey, I'm home. You got to get out. You're a Christian now. You got to get out of here." And he lost his family. Those men and women of God who followed him, they would lose friends. They would lose loved ones. They would lose families for the sake of their decision to follow Jesus. Because sometimes following Jesus and being in His ministry for the kingdom is a lonely place. In fact, it's a good thing when you're lonely. You should be afraid if the world still wants you to be their friend. But when you really love Jesus and you're really walking with Him, the world ain't gonna like you. So if you're saying, "Hey, I'm a Christian, and I got friends in the church and friends in the world, and everyone loves me, I'm popular," you're probably not even really saved. Because when you're a non-believer who gets around with a strong believer, that non-believer gets really uncomfortable fast. So the disciple, the devil was trying to get them even at their loneliness. Oh, the devil's trying to use that rejection from your family and friends to get you watered down. That's what happened with Israel. The nation of Israel, the first generation, began to mingle with the other nations. Why? Maybe they were lonely. They began to marry non-believers. Why? Maybe because they were lonely. But they had no idea it was the devil trying to water them down. Can you imagine if I lost flavor as your pastor?
Let's open up to the book of Luke, chapter 6.
Aren't you glad you have a little pastor with a little picante in him, a little flavor? But enough about me. What about you? Because you know what it's like to be a pastor on stage, to look out in the crowd and see a lot of flavorless people? Your faces, I do not like, by the way. They would make the devil run, I'm just telling you. Because some of you, I'm like preaching and you're it looks like you want to kill me. And some of you, you're just like this zombie stare. It's like, I don't even know. But you know what I love? The flavorful people. The ones I'm preaching, and you're like angsty, like, yeah. That you just want to get up and run around. Hey, listen. God needs His people with flavor. And I know life is hard. Yeah, you've been excluded. Yeah, you're lonely. Yeah, you've gone and done some things you regret. Yeah, you strayed away from Jesus for a while. But what about now? Could you say right now, "I've lost flavor, but I can get it back because salt never loses its flavor"? Did you know? Here's an interesting thing. You know that I love, one of my biggest passions, besides the Jesus, I know, is surfing. I've been surfing for years. Love it. The craziest thing, after a few weeks, that my boards are hanging on the wall, and I have different boards. Some are for travel, some are for home, whatever. The travel boards, the ones I leave for like a year on the wall. When I pick it up every year to go somewhere, it's covered in salt. covered. You know why? Because salt never loses. So even though for that moment I couldn't see the salt because the board was wet and had moisture in it, that salt dominated. And it sucked that water dry and came out again. Because some of you right now, you've been watered down by the devil. You're discouraged, you're hopeless, you're lonely, you're doubting. You're saying, Lord, is this even worth it? But I promise you, you can get back to a place where you're stronger than that water the devil's been dumping on you. And you're going to come out of it again and be strong for the Lord. Because some of you, you miss these days, don't you? The days that you used to just give out shopping carts and not care. The days you were so passionate and so in love and so peaceful. But see, somewhere down the line, as you followed Jesus, life happened. You got hurt. You went through struggles. Jobs and money and boyfriends and baby daddies and mamas and whatever. And you just got so watered down that it no longer had an effect on you. But it's time that you catch your flavor back. You're saying, Pastor, with your dry face, how? Sounding like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, you're like, your tail's been gone for years, you know? Isn't it interesting that Eeyore and like Tigger were friends? Because God would put people in your life like, oh, isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? And you're like, yeah, well, at least you have your tail. I don't know how I got there, but anyway. Where was I? Oh, yeah, okay. You're here today and you're saying, I've lost my flavor. How do I get it back? Can we establish first, salt never loses. Say that with me, salt never loses. So the Spirit of God is in you, guess what? You're not going to lose. But you can get watered down. Salt doesn't lose. If you're tired of being saved but not effective, saved but bored, saved but dry, saved but negative, great, you're on your way to heaven, but until then, I'm going to be miserable. You know what Jesus had to do? He said, great is your reward in heaven. You know what Jesus did there? He said, guys, listen. Because this is how I think it went. I wish I can know for sure, but Jesus is there with a crowd of people. Jesus, Jesus. Let me touch you, Jesus. Right? And his disciples are there. And they knew him when Jesus was no one. And they've been following him. And I believe that maybe Peter had to have been Peter. And John, you know, John was always the favorite. He was like, isn't Jesus awesome? And Matthew, he's like, oh yeah, Jesus is awesome. I used to be a tax collector. He has to brag about his sin. And Peter, the outspoken, too honest, loudmouth, opinionated, Peter, shut up, Peter, said, you ever notice ever since we've been following Jesus, we've lost more than we've ever lost? You know, I used to be popular. I used to have a nice business as a captain, and life was good. And ever since I followed Jesus, I lost my family, I lost my friends, and life is hard, huh? Hey, you ever noticed that Tim over there? He didn't even follow Jesus. Hey, you remember that rich young kid who had everything in the world and rejected Jesus? I heard he just bought a nice wooden yacht. And it's like life is so much easier for those guys, huh? But what about us? I mean, when are we going to get our reward, huh? Is it worth it? You think we made the right choice, guys? And Jesus just looks at them. Said, heaven. Heaven. Come on, heaven. Jesus said, get your mind off the now and put it on the kingdom. Because I'll tell you what, I'd rather be miserable on earth on my way to joy in heaven. Amen. And the reason that right now you've been watered down and you've lost flavor is because you stopped being kingdom-minded and started being earthly-minded. And you're part of the crowd. Let me just get touched by Jesus so he can fix my life now. But what good is it to be touched by Jesus but truly never transformed? With every head bowed, every eye closed here today, I don't know who you are, but you're saying, God, of all the days I'm in church, it's the day that I know I've lost flavor. I know I've strayed away from you. I know Pastor David changed that sermon for me because I've lost my strength. I've lost my passion because somewhere down the line, life has been harder. And I've lost so much and I got so distracted with this life on earth that I forgot your kingdom purpose. And I'm not as strong and I've lost flavor and I've strayed and I'm useless for God as I am right now. God can't use me right now. If that's you today, I dare you to confess and say, Pastor, that's me. Come on, put those hands up. Say, Pastor, I've lost flavor. God bless you. You there all around the room today. You there. You there. I'm not going to put you out. I'm not going to put you on the altar today. This is a private moment. I want you to be alone with God today. Because, hey, if you're here today also, I want to tell you right now, like those disciples, they didn't deserve to be saved. They didn't deserve to follow Jesus in the first place. But Jesus wanted them. But it's hard when you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I'm not useful anymore. And I'm living with constant comparison. And I've lost my flavor, my passion, my strength for Jesus. Because it's scary to know that the measurement never changed. You know why? Because some of you, your measurement hasn't changed. You still go to church the same amount of time. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Wednesday, every Sunday. Every event, every Sunday, every Wednesday, event. Wednesday, Sunday, event. Bible study, church Sunday, Pastor David, study the Bible. Wednesday, event. Nothing's changed except your passion. Because you've been watered down. So I want you to pray this with me. And confess and just say, Lord, I've lost my flavor for you. The devil has me watered. And identify where he's watering you. Let me name them one more time. Have you been watered down by hopelessness and emptiness where you used to run to Jesus to fill, but now you're running to other things to fill? Are you watered down because your desire for God has changed for desire for the flesh and sin? Are you watered down because right now you no longer mourn for sin you used to mourn for, but actually enjoy it, excuse it, and justify? Have you been watered down because following Jesus means sometimes you're not going to have friends, you're going to lose boyfriends and girlfriends, and you're going to lose family, and you're struggling with loneliness? The Word of God says you will be blessed. But don't let the devil water you down anymore. Let's pray together as a church. Let's all stand to our feet today.
and declare right now, say, Lord Jesus, I'm getting my flavor back. Forgive me, Lord, for letting myself be watered down. Forgive me for not being kingdom-minded. Forgive me for being that part of the crowd that only seeks you to get from you. But I no longer seek you to give to you. Just say, Lord, I'm watered down. I've lost flavor. And now tell the Lord where you've lost flavor. Say, Lord, I've lost flavor for worship. Right now, my radio is on the wrong station. It used to be on worship. I've lost flavor for the Bible. Can't remember the last time I picked it up and read it. Now my new Bible is Netflix. That's where I spend my life. Nothing wrong with that. Unless it replaces what used to give you passion. Lord, my flavor right now is in sin. That I know it's wrong, but I like it. It tastes good. Lord, right now I'm empty and I'm searching to fill this void in the wrong things and people and pleasures. And I want my strength back. That passion that used to cause me to forfeit everything for you. To give up people and relationships and sin for you. I want the passion that used to get me up early in the morning to pray and read the Bible. I want that passion that used to wake me up on Sunday excited for church. I want that passion that used to make me love people and love my church family. I want that passion that used to make me look at a lost person and say, I need to reach them. I want that passion back, Lord. But I've been so distracted with me and my life that I have forfeited the kingdom. I have forgotten there's a bigger picture. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person in this room who has lost flavor, for every person listening online or in this podcast right now, and you have lost flavor, your salt will never lose. You can get back. That water can be absorbed. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and no other name, that the people here today will get their strength and their flavor back for you as they begin to fall in love with you again. For those who have strayed from you, Father, I thank you for bringing them back today. Father, you have never changed with them. God's love for you hasn't changed. His dreams for you hasn't changed. He is salt. He does not change. You've just got watered down. So, Father, defeat this enemy in their life right now that has them watered down. And give them the strength to have the strength again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God some praise today. Are you getting your flavor back? Are you getting your flavor back? Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm getting my flavor back. Come on, tell them right now, I'm getting my flavor back. I'm getting my flavor back.